And you're listening on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and welcome to the State of Politics. It's our weekly get-together with the Managing Editor and Capitol Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta. Each week we explore some of the issues of the week as determined by the conversations and actions that are taking place in the state legislature. Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Good morning, David.
We continue to move towards the midterm elections and subject of conversation and an ongoing controversy over the past couple of election cycles is the issue of gerrymandering, how our political districts in Michigan are drawn up. There has been a petition drive seeking to change the way political parties can draft those lines by putting it to a vote of the people. There was supposed to be a committee hearing earlier this week. Did that ever take place?
It did not. And you're talking about the Board of State Canvassers. It is a bipartisan four-person board that certifies that these petition campaigns have collected enough signatures. They were supposed to do that this week. It looked like the voters, not politicians, campaign to amend the state constitution had gathered enough signatures. But the Republican chair of the committee abruptly canceled it, saying that he wanted to allow some court challenges to play out before the board made its decision, even though those court challenges have nothing to do with the board's responsibility to certify whether or not the campaign had gathered enough valid signatures of registered voters. Now the Voters Not Politicians campaign is in court asking a judge to order the Board of State Canvassers to do its job and certify the petitions.
So we have no idea what the timeline on those court hearings will be or when any kind of decision will be made and when this actually comes before the Board of State Canvassers.
We have no word, and this is, you know, this is often the case with these sorts of legal matters. We have no word from the judge on when a ruling might be coming on the substantive challenges to the Voters Not Politicians drive. And basically that is that they say that it's too expansive, that it amends too many parts of the state constitution, that it's really more like a constitutional convention than an actual amendment. And so that which would be more narrowly focused. And so that's what the substantive challenge is on, whether or not the court will rule on the campaign's request to have the Board of Canvassers make a determination. We'll see.
So it remains unclear as to whether this particular issue will make the November ballot, but there is another drive that seems more likely to do so. And if it wins voter approval, it would raise the state's minimum wage to $12 an hour over a period of time.
They have turned in their signatures. It remains to be seen whether the signatures will be certified. What happens now is the State Bureau of Elections will basically catalog everything. Then they'll take a sample of the signatures and check that sample to see how many of them are valid, how many people actually live at the addresses that they signed, whether or not they're on the voter rolls. And then from that sample, they'll extrapolate whether or not the petition campaign has got enough signatures. Now, the difference between the Voters Not Politicians and the minimum wage is Voters Not Politicians is a proposal to amend the state constitution. That automatically goes to the ballot once it's approved. Right now, drives like, well, prevailing wage has been approved. Legalizing marijuana is out there. That question first goes to the legislature, which has 40 days to act on it. And if it doesn't approve it, then it goes to the ballot. And there is a question of how the legislature is going to deal with these. Are Republican leaders going to pick and choose the ones that they like and only vote on those? Will they decide to just send all of them to the ballot? Will they decide to just approve all of them? And there's a practical reason to do that, because if these go to the ballot, if future legislatures or even this legislature in lame duck want to change it, if it goes to the people, it requires a three-quarters supermajority in both the House and the Senate to make a change. If the legislature does it, then it's just a simple majority.
If all the measures get approved, it looks like it could be a crowded ballot in November, but there is certainly no certainty of that, as we've just pointed out. The State of Politics...
We are looking at a crowded ballot.
Yeah. The State of Politics with Rick Pluta continues on 89.1 WEMU. Well, Governor Rick Snyder's administration and some key lawmakers in Lansing yesterday struck a budget deal that includes using a surplus to boost road spending, school safety initiatives, and savings, among other things. Based on these preliminary agreements, what is the preliminary plan for the direction of allocations?
Well, that's just it. You outlined it there. What happens once the legislative leaders and the governor come up with the what are called targets, basically what different area, how much money is going to be spent in different areas of the budget. Now it goes to House and Senate Appropriations subcommittees to work out the details. Exactly what are the school safety programs that that money is going to be spent on? How is the road money going to be allocated? Is it going to go through the usual formula? Is it going to be funneled a lot more toward local governments, which a lot of lawmakers and a lot of local governments would like? Because, you know, when we talk about potholes in the roads, that's really what we're talking about, is local roads.
Well, leaders of individual legislative subcommittees will now iron out the details on this budget weeks, but the preliminary agreement says $400 million on infrastructure spending, $150 million for the rainy day fund, and then $58 million to help schools improve their security and hire more counselors. Now, part of that would be to the creation of an Office of School Safety within the Michigan State Police. What might that look like?
It would be someplace where school districts could go to get advice, best practices, and sometimes approval for their plans to maybe hire more school safety officers. There are proposals on what to do when new schools are built or existing schools are refurbished, what could be done to, and the phrase is, harden them from people who might come in and with bad intentions.
I noticed that none of the proposals address gun controls or restrictions when we're talking about school safety. Not even going to be a part of the debate at this time, is it?
No. The governor would like to create a commission. And what Governor Snyder has said is that gun control is not off the table. And he actually, like, you know, for example, believes that Michigan should have a red flag law.
Right.
Where guns are seized from people who are deemed a threat to themselves or others. But the legislature isn't on board. And what he said about this is, at this juncture, when you bring guns into the debate, everything else that you might do just stalls. And so what he wants to do is put that question to a commission that he wants to create, and then they can come back and make recommendations that may or may not include things that deal with gun control.
This is, again, 89.1 WEMU. You're listening to The State of Politics with Rick Pluta, the Michigan Public Radio Network. Hey, Rick, environmentalists around the state are up in arms about a measure that's making its way through that would create an oversight panel for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. And at the center of the controversy is really the proposed makeup of that panel that has them concerned, because it is large on industry and very little on environmental advocacy groups.
Yeah, that they say that these panels are stacked. You know, it's interesting how, in some respects, history repeats itself. In the 1990s, going into the 1990s, Michigan for many years had citizen advisory councils to deal with a host of environmental questions. Business groups didn't like that because they felt like those boards were stacked in favor of environmentalists. Now we're seeing, writ small, another version of the same debate.
It's interesting, you know, some groups like the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, the Michigan Environmental Council, they're calling the plan the fox in the henhouse legislation. Those on the panel would potentially get to make decisions directly impacting their company's bottom line. Republicans expressing no concern with conflict of interest issues?
Well, Republicans feel that right now the deck is stacked against business. And the idea is that this panel would be a more pro-business panel, that it would be looking out for the interests of businesses that have questions before the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. And the goal is clear. Environmentalists just don't like it.
Is it going to make its way through? Is it going to pass, you think?
It will likely be adopted on very partisan votes, if all the Republicans, or if most of the Republicans in the House and the Senate go for it, which appears to be the case.
Thank you very much, Rick. We'll talk again next week.
My pleasure.
That's Rick Pluta, Managing Editor of the Michigan Public Radio Network and our partner for State of Politics on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.